Hi, and welcome to Housewives of True Crime.
Welcome.
Welcome. I am Tabitha. Give me Dateline, white wine, and I'll pick up your kids in the carpool line.
The next day, right?
Yeah, the next day.
Okay. And I am Gretchen. I like white wine, true crime, and in bed by 9 because I have a lot of stuff to do in the morning.
We are Housewives of True Crime.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are. Welcome.
Welcome.
Housewives of True Crime.
Yeah. How's he? What's it?
Oh, it is. It is. The weather is beautiful. Flowers are blooming. Love is in the air.
Is it? No. You know what's in the air is
pollen.
St. Patrick's Day. Yeah, that too. And Easter are very close together. It's causing me a little stress because I like to decorate for both holidays. Mm-hmm.
It's too much.
It's too much. They're like within 13 days of each other. I skipped decorating for St. Patrick's and just put out my Easter decor.
Okay, so listen, sometimes you could just throw in a few things that you can pull out, right?
Well, I go off. You know, I have like a St. Patrick's Day inflatable. Oh my for the gosh. Yard.
You would think she's Irish.
I'm one of those. Yeah. I do have a confession because we've been having a little exchange over her use of the word hippie and me. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe I have some hippie tendencies.
Oh my God. You're just realizing this after 40 something years.
Well, so I have this tree that is awful. It has a lot of branches, but it's like very dead in my front yard. And so I hung these little like eggs all over it. And then I got this cute little bunny that's like meditating.
Mm-hmm.
And it has like a butterfly like on its palm that lights up.
That's
like
cute.
A solar thing.
I like that. Yeah.
So I was like, where can I put this? Well, I hung it with fishing line in the tree. Like the bunny is like levitating.
Oh my gosh.
I don't and know I'm like, oh, I'm like, maybe Tab's right. I'm out there all the time and I'm always looking for my neighbors to say like, hey, nice decorations. Cause I don't think there is a single other house on the street that has so much as a like happy spring sign. Okay.
And they don't say anything.
Oh no. They like, look and then keep crazy. Walking. Not like, oh, so cute. No, I'm not getting any no love.
Because the dead tree is the red flag for me. It's like
the dead tree and the levitating bunny. They're like, what a weirdo.
Yes. And they're like, why don't you clean that up? Like, well, take the tree out.
I mean, you know, like whatever.
You know, so that's
I got time for that. Or yes. We could just, you know, hang eggs on it.
Shoosh it up and make it.
I do the same shit with my dead lawn. I think if you cover it in inflatables, then it just makes the house look better. Oh, so let's just keep them up all
your
year.
Dead lawn. Seriously. Oh, gosh. That just gives me heart palpitations right there. And thank you, Wendy, for pushing me to go to the doctors. I will be doing that soon.
I need to go to the doctors. Though. It's been a minute.
Yeah.
Well, so hard. A friend of mine was just telling me yesterday, she went to the dentist for a little cleaning and I'm like, snaps for you. It's been a minute since I've been to the dentist.
You were like, where do you find time for that? I can barely find time to take
I'm
my
like,
children.
That's great. That's very adultish. She said they told her she has a bunch of decay, AKA cavities, I guess. And it was really painful and she didn't get out of there for 2 hours.
Oh,
I'm like,
and that's why I don't go.
To me, I'm so crazy. That validates me. I'm like, that's why I don't fucking go. I ain't trying to do that.
You're like, if it hurts, I'll go. My teeth still look really white.
I am stoked on myself right now because, you know, I hate exercise. I hate it so much. But I am at the phase where it doesn't hurt.
Yeah, good.
you know?
That's, yes, I like the pain though. So that's
No, there's a difference. Like I get to the point where I do like 2 squats and then I can't like sit down on the toilet. Okay.
Everybody
for like
said,
a week.
The toilet. Everybody's like, it's I can't like, sit on the toilet.
The worst.
Uh-huh. I know. Before we talk about crime though, Gretchy, I do want to remind everybody that we do have a Patreon or a bonus where you get an extra crime a month. And we talk every single week on Thursday. And if you listen on Apple, then it's easy. You just go to the Clink Clink Club and subscribe there. If not, you can go to patreon.com/housewivesoftruecrime. And if you listen on Spotify, there is a easy way to find us there too on the bonus content. So you can get us. And it's a really great way to support us if you love us. Also, if you have not given us a review, please do so and tell your friends about us because we're trying to grow a little bit in our business, just like you guys like to grow in your own business. So that is the way that we can be successful. So we appreciate every single one of you. And thank you for all the new Patreon subscribers. We see you and we are very thankful. Let's get to your crime.
Okay, Tab, I got a little surprise for you.
Oh, you do?
Happy fucking early birthday. Okay.
I mean, it's like, I'm not ready to age myself yet to the next year.
I like it though. There's like your birthday's on the 6th and I'm like the 19th. And so there's like a couple of days where like what we're only like a year apart.
It's 2, but right. How old are you?
Normally it's 2, but there's a, like a minute where you're only 1 year.
Oh my gosh.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. I like those days.
By the way, it is our anniversary month.
Yeah, 5 year
anniversary.
I'm still deciding what to get you. I think I'm going to get you a cameo from Gypsy Rose. I just saw she was. I just thought.
Stop.
I just heard she is making. She has so many TikTok followers and everything. She's making like $2 million effing dollars a year.
Stop right now. What she really should do is OnlyFans.
Tabitha, shame on you.
I'm just
if
saying.
If she can just like, make it not, no, I mean, oh my God.
I feel Listen. Like you could make so much money on OnlyFans. You could save all
that. I don't think
that.
$2 million is chump change for your information.
It's not, but it's not going to last forever. So I'm just saying, make it while you can.
Well, I think, okay, you have a point there. Maybe make more in your period of.
Yeah, your 15 minutes of fame. It doesn't
I just think if she can make it on TikTok and Cameo, then, you know,
yeah, that's
exploit
true.
That.
You don't even have to take your clothes off for
OnlyFans. I think you do.
Dude, I just
that's where they
that
lose
you can't
me.
Be nude. You have to have clothes on.
On OnlyFans?
Yeah, that's what I just
we
read.
Really should subscribe.
We really
for
should.
Research purposes.
Sure.
I'll put it on the company card. Yeah.
Okay.
Let's see how naked they get. Okay. We would. We'd do it. We'd do it like.
We need to pick somebody that we want.
Yeah, well,
see.
Let's pick someone. Okay. Let's talk. We'll talk. Well, this is what we'll be offline. Talking about on the Patreon.
Oh, Patreon. Okay. You know what? Hey, guys, we're subscribing today to OnlyFans, and then we're going to give you the whole DL on Thursday.
Where one of us is going to subscribe and we're going to share the password because we're cheap bitches like that. But.
Not supposed to share our secrets. Okay.
No one else does that.
Yes. So subscribe and listen what we find out.
Okay.
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 All right. So early birthday.
Back to the surprise. Okay. I'm doing a listener suggestion from Nikki Kempin.
Oh my God. She is a friend of mine. And that is so funny because I saw her yesterday and I said, oh, I'm recording tomorrow, which is today that we're recording is not our normal day to record. And I could just see her eyes light up and she was like, oh, what are you talking about? And I was like, no, it's Gretchen's case. So I'm not sure. And I could just see her wheels spinning. Like, I hope she's doing my case.
Okay. Well, So how this came to
that's
be.
So good.
Because obviously she's not just a listener. She's a personal friend of Tab's. Is that I was on the phone with Tabitha while she ran into Nikki. And she told her that she had a suggestion and Tab blew her off. And I was listening to it on the phone. And I
was really busy.
And I made Tab tell her, you know, put it in an email, attention to me. Mm-hmm. And she did. And it was a really nice email. And it said things like, thanks for considering the case and hope to meet you when you come to Texas. And I'm going to tell you, Nikki, you are going to meet me when I come to Texas and you are going to buy me a giant cocktail. Because this is not my normal casing.
Okay.
Yeah. It was extra. Okay.
Oh, no.
So it all went down in Springfield, Missouri in 1992. Springfield seems like a nice place to live. You can buy yourself a really nice home in like the 300,000s.
Wow. That is still even today.
Yeah. Today. I don't know what it was like then.
Probably like 50,000.
Probably.
Yeah.
Population is around 170,000. And back in 1992, it was around 150,000. So it's not exactly a small town. So on graduation night for the local Kickapoo high schoolers, there were plenty of parties to go to. Kickapoo. That's really the name of the high school. Kickapoo. Yeah.
Like Gretchy Poo?
It sounds like kick a dumpy. It's like bad. Okay. By the way, fun fact about Kickapoo High School, it is where Brad Pitt graduated in 1982.
That's 10 years before.
Kickapoo sounding a little better now, right?
It does sound a little bit better, but 1982 graduation and I was 2 when he graduated high school.
Yeah, that's gross.
Like, be my dad.
Yeah. Okay. Well, on June 6, 1992, when you were 12, like that math?
Mm-hmm,
okay.
I do.
3 fresh grad girls set out to the festivities, with their plan being to end their night at a motel in Branson, which is only about 45 minutes away, so that they could wake up and go to the Whitewater Water Park in the morning.
Remember, Branson's the place in Missouri that has all the fun stuff.
It sounds so fun.
That we've talked about before. Yeah.
Yeah. If I go to Missouri, that's where I'm going.
Me too.
Yeah. Well, these young ladies were named Janelle, Susie, and Stacy. They ended up at a party in Janelle's neighborhood, and when it was time to leave, they changed the plan. They didn't feel like driving to Branson that night, and so the new plan was to just crash at Janelle's and head to the water park in the morning. Well, when they got to Janelle's house, there wasn't much room on account of all the relatives that were staying with her because they were in town for graduation.
Graduation, yeah.
So Susie and Stacy left and went to Susie's house after they agreed to pick up Janelle in the morning and still go to the water park. Well, morning came and went, and Janelle didn't hear from Susie and Stacy. She tried calling Susie's house, and no one answered. She just waited to hear from them. I mean, that's what you did back then. You didn't have a cell phone. Your ass waited.
Yeah.
And when you got sick of waiting for someone to call, you like had to go knock on their door. I times have changed. Now I rarely speak to anyone on the phone besides you.
I know. And, I don't even think kids know each other's voices.
Oh my God. All other communication is via text. And I'm basically offended if someone even tries to leave me a voicemail. Like, I cannot be bothered to listen to your like voice, like text or email only, please. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But like I was saying, it was Janelle had 1992 options. So when she got sick of waiting by the phone, she got her boyfriend to drive her over to Susie's house. When they arrived, she saw Susie's car, Stacy's car, and Susie's mother, Cheryl's car. All 3 were in the driveway. As they walked up to the steps, they saw broken glass from a broken porch light. They knocked on the door and no one answered. And so they just opened it and went in, thinking they just must all be sleeping. Janelle's boyfriend grabbed a broom and cleaned up the broken glass while Janelle went to wake up her friends. But they weren't there. I mean, that's like a nice sounding teenage
boy, though.
They were not there.
Mm-hmm. And who taught this boyfriend to clean up? That is like
some good parent. Okay. That is good. Okay.
Kudos.
Yeah. So no one was there and she had no idea where they could be. They had obviously made it there because their cars were in the driveway. The beds all looked slept in. And in the bathroom was all their jewelry and dirty towels from removing their makeup and other things we had to do. There was no face wipes. Remember how rough we had it? You know, you had to wash your face with probably Noxzema, okay? And a washcloth.
That's true. Right now it's the magic eraser. You don't even need Noxzema anymore.
Right? Mm-hmm. It was a lot in 1992, okay? Also, the girls' purses were there. So Janelle is like really at a loss as to what to do about her missing friends, but she didn't think anything bad could have happened to them. She just didn't know where they were. And she figured they will just catch up with her at the Whitewater Water Park at some point. So she decided to leave for the water park, but the phone rang before she left and she answered it because she thought, well, maybe it was someone who knew where everybody was.
Yeah.
She was creeped out when the person on the other end was some perv talking nasty.
Stop.
Yeah. She hung up.
Hey, did you ever have that happen to you?
Yeah, I was just going to say that. So remember back, that was a thing.
Yeah.
Pervs did not airdrop dick pics, kids. They did these heavy breathing phone call.
Yes, thing. I did get I got one when I was babysitting at a house. Creep me the F out, man.
Yeah, it's creepy if you're alone, but I mean it did happen periodically. Yeah. Right? Yeah. So I mean that's how Janelle felt. Like it was creeps, but you know, she didn't think much of it. She just went to Whitewater.
Yeah. She's like, what the fuck? So
yeah.
Okay.
So while she's there, you know, slipping and sliding
with the boyfriend,
Stacy's
because I'm thinking with the boyfriend, she's not going by herself.
No. Yeah. So Stacy's mother started wondering about where her daughter was. She called Janelle's house because the last time she spoke with Stacy, she had told her that they had changed their plans about spending the night at the motel in Branson and that they would all just sleep at Janelle's. Janelle's mother told her that Stacy had decided to sleep over at Susie's house, and she gave her the number. When she couldn't reach her there either, she was annoyed. Her daughter had not informed, I mean, these kids are annoying like this, you know, had not informed her about the change in plans and was now unreachable. But going and looking for her would have to wait because she had a date with her other daughter, Lisa, to go shopping for wedding dresses. Well, by the time she was done with that and she still hadn't heard from Stacy, she went from being annoyed to concerned. Mm-hmm. She went to Whitewater and found Janelle so she could get Susie's address. Susie and her mother had just moved into a new house 2 months prior, and so she wasn't familiar with where they were living at the moment. With the address in hand, she headed over to the house, and now, with still no sign of the girls, she called and reported her missing. When word got out that the three were missing, friends and family gathered at Susie's house because it's Susie, Stacy, and Cheryl, Susie's mother. Mm-hmm. The place was a little messy. And so they took it upon themselves to clean it up a bit, do the dishes. They even repaired like a bent screen.
This house that
the girls had been and had clearly been at because the beds were slept in. They washed their faces.
Why are
their
they
purses
cleaning
were there.
It up if something happened? That's kind of weird.
I'm just telling you. That's what they're doing because no one's expecting anything. No one's thinking anything bad happened. They didn't know that this wasn't like a true crime podcast episode tab. They're just thinking like, where did these girls often go? Right.
But what about the rest of the family that was all supposed to be staying there? They're not there either.
They didn't stay at that house, Tab. They went Remember they?
Yes. Yes. They went to
two of the girls.
House. Yes.
Yes. Okay. Okay. So they also played all the messages on the answering machine, and there was a pervy one on the answering machine, but they deleted it right away because that's what you did, right?
Okay.
When officers arrived at the house, then they treated it like a crime scene, you know, as much as they could, because like, everything
why did you guys wash everything and fix shit and put your fingerprints everywhere. And
yes, it had been contaminated by all the well-meaning people at the house, you know, but I mean, I do sort of get it because it's like, you're nervous, you want to be helpful. So you're like, I'll just clean this stuff up for them.
Yeah. It's right? not like having a baby though, and they need their house cleaned.
I know. That's true. That's true. But anyways,
I get it. I get it.
Note to people in the future. Okay.
Got it.
Well, what police did see when they arrived for the missing persons report was they noted that there wasn't really any evidence of a struggle or anything out of the ordinary at the house besides the broken porch light that they learned about and one of the like blind slats, like being bent, like there was somebody looking out the window and the bent screen. There wasn't anything taken, and Cheryl's purse, there was like $900 in deposits she needed to make for her hair salon. The police were told that it was normal for Cheryl to have large deposits like that on hand, but what wasn't normal was for Cheryl to have left without her cigarette and lighter. They were both left. And friends of Cheryl say, like, she was, girlfriend was a real chain smoker. Like, she hardly went to the bathroom without a ciggy. Within 24 hours, all of these friends and family that had gathered to watch Susie and Stacy graduate from high school were now all putting up missing person flyers. Three women just gone. Pretty unheard of. And, you know, certainly was in Springfield in 1992. And so the community really sprang into action. The women were dubbed the Missing Springfield Three, as it was reported in the media. And as is standard, the people closest to the women were looked at first as persons of interest. There was not anyone in Stacy's life that was alarming. She wasn't even supposed to have ended up at Susie's house that night, so she was likely not the target. Cheryl, being a grown single mother, had some exes in her past, of course, but she didn't have any contentious relationships with them and no known enemies besides the strained relationship she had with her adult son, Bart, who was Susie's older brother by 9 years. Bart admittedly had a drinking problem, and it had played a role in the breakdown of his relationship with his mother, who had grown intolerant of his binge drinking. He had only moved back to Springfield that year after being in the Pacific Northwest for quite a while. When he came back to Springfield, he had mended fences with his mom and sister, Susie. He got an apartment, and Susie moved in with him for a while. Cheryl supported the idea of her two children, you know, living together and getting to know each other at the time. But then there was an incident. The way Bart tells the story himself is that Susie asked him to turn his music down, and he'd been drinking. It was a Friday, and he refused. And when she attempted to do it herself, a ceramic clown broke that they both loved, that they had bought together at the flea market. And that made him more angry. An argument commenced, and Susie left and went back to living with her mother. And they hadn't spoken to Bart since that happened, Cheryl or Susie. In Bart's mind, he thought that they would eventually, of course, speak when, you know, cooler heads prevailed. But sadly, he would never get the chance. Bart was contacted by the police and questioned, and he voluntarily took a polygraph and was cleared by investigators early on, but not by public opinion. Mm. What it seems like happened to me is that people were just desperate for an answer. The community does not want to live in fear, thinking yeah. that three women can just disappear.
Right.
At the hands of like a boogeyman. You know, there must be a reason. So the argument that Bart admitted to with his little sister got twisted into them calling it a violent attack. And Bart categorically denies no. ever putting his hand on his sister or his mother. And I believe him. Mm-hmm.
You have heard me talk about my language learning skills with Rosetta Stone. And I'm telling you, I'm getting really good at it. I learned a little bit of Japanese before we went to Japan last year. And I really love the French language. So I'm learning French at the moment. Bonjour, bonsoir. I'm even getting a little bit of the accent down. Not very good, but I'm getting there. And with Rosetta Stone, it makes it so easy. I download it on my phone. I learn it in the car. It is awesome. You can do it on your desktop, wherever you find it convenient. They are there for you. And they have 25 languages, you guys, that you can use. And right now they are giving a lifetime membership for 50% off. So you can learn as many languages as you want for your entire life, which is amazing. And the best part is it starts off, you know, with just words and then phrases and then sentences. And then you should be able to have a conversation with somebody that also knows the language, which is, you know, my entire goal. So don't put off learning that language. There is no better time than right now. Seriously, get started before your summer vacay. Our listeners get 50% off the lifetime membership. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem it today at rosettastone.com/today.
Hello, listeners. Today's episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. BetterHelp offers online therapy, which is something I have personally benefited from and believe in. We all have life stresses that can be overwhelming. For me, it has been a game changer to have an online therapist who helps me navigate and reflect on life. I have had to work on setting healthy boundaries and my tendency to internalize, well, everything. It is heavy business, but I can't tell you enough how freeing it is to work through it. And personally, I find it easier to be open while talking things through from the comfort of my couch. It's so convenient. Online therapy for me has really meant becoming a better version of myself. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/clink today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/clink.
With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom? Well, let me tell you, MyLifeInABook.com is a very unique service. I did it for my mom and my grandmother, and it has been amazing. It basically turns your mom's life stories or your grandmother's or anybody that you think is special in your life into a book. So here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send a question via email to the special person, whoever you choose. You can ask custom questions too, but I just kind of let MyLifeInABook choose what questions to ask. And then your special person, like your mom, can type their response or they can record their voice. And My Life in a Book compiles it all in a beautiful keepsake for you. And guess what? They can even create audiobooks. I mean, this is such a unique gift that will last a lifetime for you, your mom, your children, your children's children. It is the best gift you can give. Check out My Life in a Book .com and use our code CLINK at checkout for 10% off. This is an unforgettable gift for you and your mom. Get it today. Use our code CLINK, MyLifeInABook.com.
I think the only thing worse than having missing loved ones is being wrongfully suspected of having something to do with it at the same time.
Totally.
You know? So I feel for the guy.
Yeah. It's kind of like JonBenet Ramsey's brother.
Yeah.
Right? And father and mother. I mean, that whole family terrible. Has been looked at and accused. And the same thing with like kind of like Madeleine McCain. It's like
the worst. You know, yeah. Yeah. So, you know, that's what Bart was kind of up against at the time from the community in Springfield. You know, they're all like giving him kind of like the side eye. And it's not really surprising that he ended up moving back to the Pacific Northwest not too long after the disappearance. Well, there was another person of interest that was close to Susie that was investigated and cleared, but there are some people out there who don't believe that he and his associates should have been. Susie had an ex-boyfriend, Dustin, and him and his two friends, Michael and Joseph, were facing charges for felony institutional vandalism and theft. Susie had been questioned by the police and agreed to testify against them if they went to trial. Her testimony would have been, by the way, that she didn't have any knowledge of the theft until after it occurred. I can imagine that it wouldn't take Susie or any young lady with like a single brain cell too long to think about cooperating with the police and breaking up with the boyfriend right after she learned about the vandalism, you know, slash theft, because this shit is not sexy at all. Guess what they stole?
What?
Gold fillings.
Stop.
Yeah. They broke. Let me tell you, they broke into a damn mausoleum at the cemetery.
What? Is this real?
Yeah. They were caught when some kids found some discarded skulls in a park.
This is so disgusting.
Yeah. And police were able to connect the dots to the young men with the help of a local pawn shop where they keep records of who be pawning. And they're pawning gold fillings? Yeah, that's where Dustin, ex-boyfriend, had received 30 whole dollars for the fillings.
Dude, I was thinking to myself when you were telling me about the dentist earlier, if there was any correlation to this story, but I didn't say it.
I should have thought about that. Yes.
I was like, there's no way there is, but there truly is. Like, yeah, they use porcelain now. So it's like a little cheaper.
Thanks, sweet Jesus.
Nobody's going to steal that.
Right? Okay.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, I don't know what to do with it. It's like, it's so next level. Next level wrong. And not even lucrative. Not even lucrative back in 1992. Okay?
I mean, seriously.
30 bucks? That's a lot of trouble.
You might as well go down to the local beach and take one of those metal detectors.
I think that probably would be more lucrative.
Yes, that's what I'm thinking that too.
Yeah. So,
and not
Dustin,
so disgusting.
It's so disgusting. That's why I'm telling you, it shouldn't have taken her more than a hot minute. Cause you see a lot of teenage girls who are not going to be like, oh yeah, let me break up with him and I'll testify against him. No problem.
Yeah.
Like that's all it takes. Tell me that my boyfriend broke into a mausoleum. I mean, even me with my low self-esteem in high school would have been like, I'm out. Okay.
Oh,
so gross.
Gosh, so gross.
Okay. So the three, Dustin and his two friends, were also rumored to be possibly into like some satanic shit.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah.
It's got to be something. Like, there's got to be some sort of voodoo Ouija board shit going on.
I don't know, right? Something dark. Okay. So they were all together the night of the disappearance. So they were each other's alibi. Mm-hmm. I mean, which is, again, why people probably still look at them sideways to this day. Mm-hmm. But they all passed polygraphs and, like I said, were cleared by investigators.
Okay.
There was a tip that came into police about a green van in the area and a resident who thought she could have seen Susie driving the van and a non-visible man behind her telling her, get out of here. Mm-hmm. There were thousands of tips that came in that didn't lead anywhere, but for some reason they found this one to be credible. So the police actually bought a van that looked like the one described by the tipster and parked it in front of the station with a sign that said, like, have you seen me? And a phone number to call.
Hmm. Okay.
But the van tip never really led anywhere. The coverage of the missing Springfield 3 did not die down, partly because the news show 48 Hours was filming in a nearby area. And when they learned about the three missing women, they packed up and shadowed police in the weeks following the investigation and then aired the show nationally. I tried really hard to watch the original episode of 48 Hours, but I couldn't get a hold of it.
Oh, you can't find it? Mm-mm. Sometimes they do that. I wonder why they take some off.
Yeah, but that's how it really got on like the national radar.
Yeah.
So for years, missing pictures stayed up in store windows and people had their theories, but the media attention to the case died down. But the case wasn't completely cold because leads were still coming in. The first was called in by the brother of a murder victim from 1978. Sharon Zellers was a 19-year-old Disney World employee when she was found lifeless in a sewage drain. The night she was found, Robert Cox was treated in an emergency room for a bad bite to the tongue. Mm-hmm. He said he did it to himself. But the nurse that treated him noted that that wasn't possible because of the direction of the bite.
Yeah, she's probably like, the teeth look like they're coming in instead of out.
Yeah. Robert was staying in a motel a couple hundred feet from where Sharon was found.
Oh.
It was 1978 and DNA was not a thing. Mm-hmm. And he was questioned at the time, but when they didn't have enough to hold him, he was free and not charged with her murder for 8 years. He was convicted for it at that point and sentenced to death. And then in 1990, that conviction was overturned based on a court ruling that he was convicted under only a suspicion of death. I mean, sure would seem like that suspicion was correct, though, because he went on to commit kidnapping and assault in California in 1985 and was also a suspect of at least two more in Texas.
Wow. Yeah.
So
did not get rehabilitated in those, what did you say, 8 years?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he was put back in the clink for holding a gun to a 12-year-old during a robbery in Texas in 1995. So how does this relate to the missing Springfield 3? Well, because he got let out when his conviction was overturned in June 1992, he was free as a bee in his hometown, which was Springfield. Yeah. The poor family of...
He seems like he could be the guy.
Yeah, he does seem like he could be the guy. And yeah. What I think is pretty impressive is that the poor family of Sharon Zellers kept tabs on him. Because it wasn't like you could just type somebody into a database.
Right.
Right? And they're so mad that his conviction got overturned. So they're like following him around.
And they're... That's crazy. I mean, the rest have been really following him around.
So when Sharon Sellers' family reported it to the police that they thought that Robert Cox could have possibly be a suspect in the Springfield 3, he was questioned and he had an alibi that was corroborated by his then girlfriend, who said that he was home that night with her. And in the early morning hours, he took her and her child to church. So he wasn't further questioned after that. But then when he was rearrested for the robbery in Texas in 1995, they decided to ask the girlfriend again about Robert's alibi. And she said, you know, I don't really know where he was that night. And also, we never went to church.
Oh, no way. Liar, liar, pants on fire about church.
I know. I'm like thinking, why didn't they try to verify his church attendance?
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like that's like not hard. Well, like, well, did anybody see you there?
Yeah, great. True.
You know?
Yeah. What church?
Yeah. I don't know why they didn't do that more thoroughly back in 1992. I mean, give an offering? It doesn't. Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't seem like a hard box to check, but they didn't. And also, you know, shame on you, Robert, about lying about spending time in the house of the Lord on top of being a total shit person. A piece of information that I found disturbing about Robert is that his occupation during...
Do you mean not like
everything? Well, everything, but this should bug you. This bugs me. His occupation during his time in Springfield was working for the gas company.
Listeners, did you know that an estimated 5 billion plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles are thrown away each year? And if that's not bad enough, most cleaning formulas are 90% water, which is heavy to ship, leading to excessive carbon emissions. Plus, those products are often filled with nasty ingredients like chlorine and ammonia. That's a lose-lose situation for you and the planet. Nobody's trying to have that. Enter Blue Land. Blue Land is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastic by reinventing cleaning essentials to be better for you and the planet with the same powerful clean you're used to. The idea is simple. They offer refillable cleaning products with a beautiful cohesive design that looks great on your counter. Fill your reusable bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. Genius! You'll never have to grab bulky cleaning supplies on your grocery run again. Refills start at just $2.25. Blue Land is trusted in over 1 million homes, including mine, y'all. When I received my first shipment of Blue Land, I was blown away by how this simple concept just makes so much sense. It's so easy. You just drop the tablet into the stylish functional bottles and get your clean on. I love the subscription option because I am not trying to get one more bulky item in my cart. Blue Land products really get the job done and leave my home smelling so fresh and clean. Blue Land has a special offer for our listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/clink. You won't want to miss this, guys. blueland.com/clink for 15% off.
I feel that it is already pretty sketchy that as a society, we just tolerate the utility people randomly in our business. You know,
like whenever they come into your,
when they
into
want,
your
yeah,
yard.
When they like come into like your side yard or wherever your meter is. I don't think newer houses are really like built like that, but I mean, you know, older ones are, right? Mm-hmm. So I think since we all have to tolerate that, the least the utility companies could do is maybe a background check on these people that have access to people's residences.
100%.
Okay. So after being convicted of kidnapping, like Robert was, it should be a hard no for a new hire for, you know, the gas company.
Right.
Okay. So Springfield investigators made 3 trips to Texas to talk to Robert after he was arrested there. Robert pretty much gave them the runaround. He would insinuate he knew things, but was not like forthcoming with them. And the feeling was pretty much like, this guy may have been involved, but he's never going to tell us. Yeah. And he keeps stringing us along as long as, and he'll keep doing it as long as we let him because he enjoys the attention. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's locked up anyways. A year after the last time he was questioned by the police, Robert gave an interview to a Springfield reporter And he did not exactly incriminate himself, but he did say that he knew for a fact the women were dead and buried near Springfield, but he would not speak any more about it until his mother died.
Oh, so he did it.
Robert is 64 today. And
today?
Mm-hmm. Because he's still, No, I mean, just like as we're sitting here today. Oh,
okay. I was like, wait, it's his birthday today. No. Okay, 64. How old is mother? 84?
I'm pretty sure she's no longer with us.
Okay, and he hasn't come out?
I am not holding out much hope that he's going to be spilling any more details because he is serving a life sentence with the possibility of parole on March 29th, 2025.
Oh, 2 years.
So I don't imagine he wants to jeopardize his chances of getting paroled.
No, he's not going to.
Let's all pray that he doesn't get it regardless, though.
So maybe he shouldn't. He's a scary, scary guy.
Yeah.
I think he won't because they know he's got this kind of lingering in the back.
And he's in Texas. I feel like they
always in Texas.
Yeah. I feel like they keep you locked up in Texas.
Yeah. Except if you're that girl that helps murder her boyfriend's parents and you get,
well,
10 years
I mean,
of probation.
Okay. I let me say that again. I think they keep you locked up in Texas if you're not attractive,
a pretty white girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So since that interview, he's been tight-lipped with the media with, you know, requests to speak to him about the missing women. There is another incarcerated person of interest in this case, a man named Gerald Carnahan, raped, killed, and left Jackie John's body in a lake in Springfield in 1985. He was suspected at the time, but it wasn't until 25 years later with DNA evidence that he was convicted for the crime.
Wow.
Which he's serving a life sentence for. And surprise, there's one more convicted rapist that is serving a life sentence. Stephen Eugene Garrison, that is still a person of interest as well. This man is said to have remained a person of interest because he had knowledge of the case not commonly known. Mm-hmm. But there's a gag order on that. And so, you know, unfortunately, I can't tell you what it is because I don't know. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. And how would he know?
I don't know. So basically, it's been 32 years and there's no answers. I watched an interview with Stacy's mother, who still does every interview she can in hopes of bringing her daughter home.
Yeah.
She says she can hardly believe that she's been gone longer than she had her now. She has not had her declared legally dead like Susie and Cheryl have been because she still can't bring herself to accept that.
Mm. I understand.
Yeah. A woman named Kathy Baird, who lived in Springfield at the time of the disappearance and later moved back, is a reporter now and began investigating the story. Mm-hmm. So this lady, Kathy, is pretty controversial. She's done some real thorough digging, though, and she's also enlisted the help of some psychics.
Okay.
Which led her to the north corner of the hospital parking garage where she thinks the bodies are buried. She had some kind of engineer go out there with ground penetrating gear who said he found three anomalies that resembled graves. She has offered to pay for the temporary demolition of the parking lot, and the hospital agreed to let her, but the police won't allow it.
No way.
They say the reason is because the timeline does not add up to them, that someone would have had to held on to the bodies for months and moved them to an active construction site in a busy area. And so they don't want to feed into psychic tips. Mm-hmm. I mean, I get their point, but I also say, let them dig.
I don't know. I feel you like...
Let them be wrong. You know,
I know, but you've got this other guy that's like says that they're on the outskirts.
Oh my God. There's so many, but there's just, I mean, it's just like, what is under there? And it's just a parking lot.
Oh, those parking lots are huge and they take a long time to build.
I mean that but what if they're wrong? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay. Anyways, it's tough. Okay. So, there's a real outpouring of people who want that dug up. So maybe they will change their mind in the future. I mean, wow. I hope so. At least I do. Okay. In fairness to them though, this woman, Kathy, does not exactly come across as like firing on all cylinders. She gave an interview to Crime Watch Online. And in it, she's like, I know what happened and I'm not going to tell you. Okay. And the producers are like, really? Then solve the, like, they come in from like off camera. They're like, yeah, that's what they said. They're like, then why are you doing this interview if you don't want to talk to us? Yeah. I did feel sorry for her, like kind of in that moment, but I was like, girl, why did you agree to do this interview?
Yeah, that's lame.
Because she looked like she could cry. And she said, you know, you don't understand. I live here.
Oh, I do understand that. But then don't do the interview.
I do understand that, but like, girl, why did maybe you do the interview?
Maybe she like freaked out, right? Like at the, you know, like maybe she freaked out right when it was happening. Like she got there and then, you know, she got camera shy. I think people would get that way.
Yeah. So, okay. What the F? You know, this case is still a ongoing investigation, you know, technically, but it's pretty much cold.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so let me tell you, speaking of cold, Nikki, I would like a frosty cold margarita with tajin on the rim in Texas because cold cases are so infuriating and not my favorite.
Hate them.
Especially like, I don't mind doing a cold case if I have like a real hunch who done it.
Yeah.
You know, but in this case,
you don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
It's
Springfield, the so-called
one
safe.
Of those.
Yeah, it's one of those. This safe all-American city seemed to have a whole bunch of kidnapping,
totally
rapey, murderer types residing there in 1992.
Yeah.
On top of grave robbing. You know, it's not sounding like a very nice place, except
the
Brad
house
Pitt
prices?
Went to high school. Brad Pitt went to high school there.
Yeah. And the house prices are.
House prices are decent.
Yeah.
Okay. Another redeeming thing about Springfield is their claim to fame is being the birthplace of Route 66.
Okay.
There is this really cool old Sinclair gas station there with like the, you know, the whole old
you
like
guys
dinosaur.
Know Gretchen loves
I love that
gas
shit.
Station.
Yeah, I do love a gas station. So, they have that going for them and hopefully a lot more, you know, crime-free stuff.
Gosh.
This case is still so infamous that the current owner of the house on Del Mar Street,
yeah,
where they disappeared from, says he sees people doing the slow drive up and down past his house on the regular.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Trying to figure it out.
And also the likes of Crime Junkies, I don't know if you've heard of them, and other real big deal true crime people have covered the missing Springfield 3. And so he notices that when it gets attention like that, he gets a lot more looky-loos.
Yeah. I can imagine so. Wow. Okay. By the way, you're looking real tan up on your
face,
girl.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, I have been using the tanning drops from Five Crimes, Luminous Lust.
It looks really good. Also, speaking of Nikki, so Nikki has a daughter that has been using the Luminous Luxe drops also. And she's like, I can't use anything else because they are my favorite thing ever. And so I just got in the mail her order. And then Nikki was complaining about losing her hair, as we all do as we age. And so, except for me, my hair is so thick right now. Oh my gosh. So I got her the scalp serum from Five Crimes, and she is about to have luscious hair like we're getting, Gretchy. So if you want, go to fivecrimes.com, FiveCrimes, and we have the best products. You are going to love them. Try them out. It is, you know, spring break in right now. So make sure you're looking like you went on spring break, even if you didn't. You know what I'm saying?
Perfect.
Yeah. Yeah.
They saved me from having to buy new foundation.
Oh my gosh. By the way, you don't even need foundation when you use it.
The weather has been so balls here. It's like the sun is finally out and it's not raining, but it's cold. I'm not trying to be outside in the cold.
Yeah.
And so my skin is pasty white. Nobody needs foundation lines. Okay. So no problem with the tanning drops on my face. Yeah. Even skin tone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I agree. Okay. So other than that, we appreciate all of you. Give us a 5-star if you love us. If you hate us, there's a ton of other podcasts you can
eat a bag,
listen to.
Whatever.
And if you want to meet us, come to CrimeCon. It's in Nashville. And I mean, Nashville is a real good time. And we will show you a really good time.
We will.
We will have a booth. We'll drink with you at the bar. And Gretchy has really
fun
stuff.
Maybe we'll drink with you at the booth. Don't tell anybody.
I know. Don't tell anybody.
We're not above it.
And we have a code, Housewives. So if you buy a ticket, put our code in. I think it saves you a little bit of money and it gives us some credit. So they'll ask us to come back next time. And it really is such a fun time. So please, please, please join us there. We'd love to see you. And that is all for today, Gretchy Poo.
Okay, clink, clink.
Clink, clink.